I would like to read from John chapter 4. Certainly need the Lord's help tonight. When therefore the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself baptized not, but his disciples, he left Judea and departed again into Galilee. And he must needs go through Samaria. I believe that Jesus needed to go through Samaria for another reason than the fact that the most direct route between Jerusalem and Galilee was Samaria. There were Jews that would deliberately avoid the most direct route from Jerusalem to Galilee because there were Samaritans there. But Jesus had a need to go through Samaria. There was a great divide between the Jews and the Samaritans. You know, there are cultural divides today that are so deep. There are divides that are so deep that it seems like they are impassable. But Jesus had a need to go through Samaria. The Samaritan schism, or withdrawal from the mainstream of Judaism, was not so much as one event as it was a process which lasted several centuries. The division between the Jews and Samaritans originated with a division between the northern kingdom of Israel and the southern kingdom of Judah. King Jeroboam I of Israel, the northern kingdom, commanded his citizens not to worship at Jerusalem, fearing that his subjects would pledge their loyalty to King Rehoboam of Judah if they traveled to the temple at Jerusalem. So Jeroboam established rival shrines at Dan and Bethel, setting up golden calves for the people to worship. This would bring about a cultural divide, wouldn't it? Alternate worship. Don't go down there to worship, but stay here and worship these golden calves. 1 Kings chapter 12 and verse 26. And Jeroboam said in his heart, "Now shall the kingdom return to the house of David if this people go up to do sacrifice in the house of the Lord at Jerusalem. Then shall the heart of this people turn again unto their Lord, even unto Rehoboam the king of Judah. And they shall kill me and go again to Rehoboam the king of Judah." Whereupon the king took counsel and made two calves of gold and said unto them, "It is too much for you to go up to Jerusalem. Behold thy gods, Israel, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt." And he set one in Bethel, and the other he put in Dan. And this thing became a sin, for the people went to worship before the one, even unto Dan. And he made an house of high places, and made priests of the lowest of the people, which were not the sons of Levi. So Jeroboam invented a religion for political purposes. And he instituted feasts at times that were different from the feasts of the Jews. He gave the people certain objects of devotion, and he acted as though it would be inconvenient and oppressive to them to have to go up to Jerusalem to worship. This was not the last time that religion was used to serve political purposes, but it is strange that he used the same words that Aaron used when he made the golden calf in the wilderness. "Behold thy gods, O Israel, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt." These people had that as a spiritual heritage, and surely they knew something about the curse that fell on those that worshipped the golden calf. Well, the Assyrians finally captured the northern kingdom and they enslaved the people. An Assyrian named Samar controlled the city Sebastaba. An Israelite bought the city and it became known as Samaria. The Samaritans were of mixed ancestry between the Assyrians and the Jews. The Jews of the southern kingdom, those that had pure blood, looked down on their northern neighbors, those people of mixed ancestry, those people who fell to idolatry, that don't come down to worship anymore at Jerusalem. They look down on Samaritans. So it's not real surprising that when the Jews wanted to curse Jesus Christ, this is what they said. In John 8:48, "Then answered the Jews and said unto him, Say we not well that thou art a Samaritan and hast a devil?" Jesus needed to go through Samaria. "Then cometh he to a city of Samaria called Sychar, near to the parcel of the ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, Give me to drink. For his disciples were gone away into the city to buy meat. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, How is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans." How do you think this woman knew that Jesus was a Jew? Could have it been his appearance, his clothing? Could it have been his accent, his dialect? Well, during the time of Jesus, the Samaritans primarily spoke Samaritan Aramaic. They were largely bilingual, and they would also use Greek, and they would read scriptures in Samaritan Hebrew. So they spoke Samaritan Aramaic. And Aramaic was the second language in the Assyrian Empire. Remember which empire conquered the northern kingdom. So this was a language that was the language of their conquerors. And it was the predominant language of the Babylonian Empire. The Jews spoke Galilean Aramaic, Greek, and Hebrew. So when Jesus spoke with the woman that day, what language do you think he chose? I suspect it was Aramaic, but there was something about it that she knew that he was a Jew. Is it really surprising? You remember the time that Peter was near the trial of Jesus, and someone said, "You are one of his disciples. Your speech," I'm going to put it in my words, "is giving you away." There was something about his accent or his choice of words, something that made it sound like he was one that was from Jesus' area, one of his disciples. This woman knew that Jesus was a Jew. "Then saith the woman of Samaria unto Jesus, How is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans." I want you to notice, this woman skipped Jesus' request for a drink. Jesus was thirsty. "Give me to drink." And there was something about Jesus speaking to her that question was no longer important to her. What was important to her is, "You spoke to me?" She didn't say, "The Samaritans have no dealings with the Jews. I don't need to have anything to do with you." She said, "The Jews don't have anything to do with the Samaritans." See, the Samaritans were the underclass. They were despised. And Jesus spoke to this woman. Jesus had a need to go through Samaria that day. Verse 10, Jesus answered and said unto her, If thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, Give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. I want you to notice that Jesus also skipped her question. Her question is about the cultural divide between the Jews and the Samaritans. Jesus saw a more pressing need. I am sorry that there are social injustices in this world, that there are classes of people that will have nothing to do with other classes, that there is racial bigotry in our world today. I am sorry. But there is something so much more important than social justice. And Jesus was getting ready to impart that to this woman. If thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, Give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. If he only knew the gift of God, if he only knew who I am. If you only knew the value of living water, you would have asked. And really all these other problems of life, the things that are not fair, the social injustices, the racial divides, all of these things diminish in importance compared to the living water that the Lord has to offer us. The woman saith unto him, Sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? You know what Jesus just did? He whetted her appetite for living water. She wanted to know more about it. Tell me, how do you get this living water? I've never heard of living water. How are you going to get that for me? Can you tell me where to get living water? My thirst is whetted. I want to know. Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well and drank thereof himself and his children and his cattle? Are you greater than our father Jacob? The Samaritans had great respect for their ancestor, their ancestral father Jacob. They claimed Jacob as their father, but the early Jews disputed that. The Jews viewed Samaritans as a mixed race resulting from the Assyrian conquest and said that they were foreigners that were practicing a compromised religion. Are you greater than Jacob? Yes, woman. Before Jacob was, I am. I created the earth where this well was dug. I created the water that your forefathers drew out of this well. The water that you came to get today. Are you greater than our father Jacob? Yes, woman. Woman, I am the giver of living water. Jesus answered and said unto her, Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. We live in a world of thirsty people. People are going after many things because they are thirsty. You know why people do binge movie watching? Because there is a thirst there that they cannot get satisfied. Do you know why people build financial empires and give themselves over to the love of money and covetousness? Because there is a thirst that they cannot get satisfied. There's not enough money in $1 million to satisfy the soul. Make it 2 million. Make it 3. Let's go for 10 million, 100 million. And now we have billionaires And they're still working hard to pile up the money because they have a thirst that cannot be satisfied by this world. Jesus needs to go through Samaria. Jesus needs to talk to the hearts of people who are longing and thirsting for the things that this world has to offer them. You know why people begin many addictions? Whether it's drinking or drugs or whatever it may be, they are thirsting for something. And just give me one more party, give me one more high. I'm so thirsty, I want something, a little more pleasure, a little fun. And they find they're unsatisfied. Oh, can I tell you tonight about living water? About something that you will never thirst again. Something that will spring up within your bosom, a river of life. Jesus answered and said unto her, Whoso drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. Does that sound good to you? Has sin left you thirsty? Has the pursuit, the dreams, ambitions of your life, as successful as you may have been, has it left you thirsty tonight? Whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. The song says, all this world, its wealth and honor, cannot sate the human breast. But when filled with God our Father, every want is fully blessed. Can a bird drink up the ocean, thirsting still from shore to shore? Or the God of all creation leave thy heart yet craving more? The woman saith unto him, Sir, give me this water. I'm sold. Give me this water that I thirst not. Do you think this was a thirsty woman? Give me this water that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. Do you understand why Jesus needed to go through Samaria that day? This is exactly the place he wanted to get this woman. He knew before he arrived at the well, there was going to be a thirsty woman. And this is exactly the point he wanted to get her to. He wanted her just to say the words, I'm thirsty. See, the things she had been seeking in her life didn't fulfill that deep longing she had in her heart. And Jesus had the answer. And she got to the point, she just went ahead and confessed, I'm thirsty. Maybe there's someone here tonight that is thirsty. Maybe this world has not satisfied the pleasures, the ambitions, the successes you've already experienced. And maybe the Lord wants you just to say, I'm thirsty. Well, it's not enough just to admit the thirst. There was a hindrance in this woman's way. Verse 16, Jesus saith unto her, Go call thy husband and come hither. Before we can get access to living water, we need to take care of some things. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened, that it cannot save. And neither is ear heavy, that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear. Woman, go and call thy husband and come hither. The woman answered, I have no husband. Proverbs tells us such is the way of an adulterous woman. She eateth and wipeth her mouth. And saith, I have done no wickedness. There can be things that hinder us from getting to that living water. And the Lord came not only to tell her about living water, but to get to the bottom of the hindrances that were stopping her from getting what really she needed in life to satisfy her. Jesus said unto her, verse 17, "Thou hast well said, I have no husband. For thou hast had five husbands, and he whom thou now hast is not thy husband. In that saidest thou truly." Jesus knew all about this woman before he ever went through Samaria that day. Before he ever saw her, he knew all about her heart, her sins, her lifestyle. And I want to say tonight, the Lord knows about every one of us. Every secret thing, everything of our heart, the things we hope people never know. The Lord knows all those things. Do you realize some of those things can be hindrances to getting to what really satisfies us in life, the living water? Luke chapter 7 and verse 36. One of the Pharisees desired him that he would eat with him. And he went into the Pharisee's house and sat down to meat. And behold, a woman in the city, which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment. I would venture to say this was another thirsty woman. And stood at his feet behind him, weeping, and began to wash his feet with tears, and did wipe them with the hairs of her head, and kissed his feet, and anointed them with ointment. Now when the Pharisee which had bidden him saw it, he spake within himself, saying, "This man, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner this is that toucheth him, for she is a sinner." You know, if Jesus were a prophet, he would have known that was a Samaritan woman, don't you think? Beyond her dialect, beyond the fact that she was in Samaria, Jesus would have known she was a Samaritan. Of course he knew. He knew all about her. He knew the life that she had lived. He knew the thirst that was in her soul. Jesus answering said unto him, "Simon, I have somewhat to say unto thee." He saith, "Master, say on." "There was a certain creditor which had two debtors. The one owed 500 pence and the other 50. And when they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. Tell me therefore, which of them will love him most?" Simon answered and said, "I suppose he that to whom he forgave most." He said unto him, "Thou hast rightly judged." And he turned to the woman and said unto Simon, "Seest thou this woman? I entered into thine house. Thou gavest me no water for my feet, but she hath washed my feet with tears and wiped them with the hairs of her head. Thou gavest me no kiss, but this woman, since the time I came in, hath not ceased to kiss my feet. My head with oil thou didst not anoint, but this woman hath anointed my feet with ointment. Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins, which are many, are forgiven. For she loved much, but to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little." And he said unto her, "Thy sins are forgiven." Did you know the Son of Man has come to seek and save that which is lost? He came seeking people who are thirsty, people who are tired of this world, tired of being in bondage to sin and Satan. Those are the very people that Jesus came to seek. Back to the woman at the well, John 4:19. The woman saith unto him, "Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and ye say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. I perceive you're a prophet. Will you help me with a fundamental spiritual question? There has been a great divide between our peoples, between the Samaritans and between the Jews, over where we ought to worship. Now, if you're a prophet, will you tell me where we ought to be worshiping? That question went way back to King Jeroboam, when he urged people to leave the worship of God at Jerusalem and go into idolatry and worship elsewhere. When he created a division, that woman suffered the consequence of that and was asking Jesus about it so much later. Prophet, did our forefathers make a mistake when we went off and worshiped the golden calves? Can you tell that this woman was thirsty, that she was seeking for something? Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Verse 20, our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and ye say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. Jesus saith unto her, woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship ye know not what, we know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship Him. The Father is still seeking true worshipers today. God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. Not in Jerusalem, not in Bethel, not in Dan, not in Mecca, but in spirit and in truth, the Lord is seeking worshipers today. The woman saith unto him, I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When he is come, he will tell us all things. Did she realize how close she was to the Messiah? I know he's coming. See, this was a thirsty woman. She had a religious background, a spiritual background, a heritage, and she knew something. Jesus saith unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. Do you realize how privileged this woman was? How many places in the Bible did Jesus make a direct confession, I am the Christ? He did it one other place. And that was when the high priest asked him at his trial, art thou the Christ, the Son of the Blessed? And Jesus said, I am. And this woman, of all the people that said, show us a sign, show us a miracle that we can believe, here was a sinful Samaritan woman that Jesus said, I am he. Wow, what a privilege. Do you see how the Lord will open himself up to people that are thirsty? People that are willing to forsake all to follow him. And upon this came his disciples. These Jewish disciples came upon this scene of Jesus talking with a Samaritan woman and marveled that he talked with the woman, yet no man said, what seekest thou, or why talkest thou with her? What kind of example do you think Jesus set for his disciples that day? Jesus was a bridge over cultural divides, over racial bigotry. Jesus was a bridge between sinner and God. And here they saw him in action. Jesus had a need to go to Samaria that day. Then the woman left her water pot and went her way into the city and saith to the men, how do you go to the well to get water and forget your water pot? How does that happen? When you meet Jesus. When you hear about living water, it's as if all of the things of this world lose their value. I met a man that told me about living water. When Jesus sees into your heart and gives you a revelation of who you are and what needs to change, that's enough to make us forget the water pots. The woman left her water pot and went her way into the city and saith to the men, come see a man which told me all the things that I ever did. Is not this the Christ? Then they went out of the city and came unto him. I want to ask you, was it worth it for Jesus not to take the indirect route to make sure he bypassed the Samaritans and didn't have to speak to a Samaritan? Was it worth it? This woman went and evangelized for him. Come and see a man which told me all the things that I ever did. Is not this the Christ? Then they went out of the city and came unto him. Is there anyone here that is thirsty for living water? Still available tonight? May God bless you.